Psalm 56 was written thousands of years ago. And it speaks the truth of our reality. There's trouble. Our friend Gene Hemphill passed away at the age of 100. And then Mark Brown and Terry Verlinda at the age of 51. Why does one person get such a long life and others comparatively short? From our perspective, we'd consider two of those deaths to be untimely. Not to mention the loss of life of children, be it in Ukraine or be it in our own midst. Children sometimes that are given just days or weeks to live. So our life in the world is painful and it's grievous. There are events that are unwelcome and heartbreaking. And yet these events, like all events, every event of our lives, whether it's a skiing accident or a cargo ship that's grounded in the Chesapeake that was refloated only this morning, or a shooting on a subway or shootings in North Side, COVID, all of these things that happen are not by chance. They're not by chance. God has a perfect plan, which includes inconvenience and tragedy and grief. We don't necessarily know how those things work together for His glory, but we know they do. And because we believe that these are according to His plan, we have confidence, as we have just sung. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in You, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? So living by faith expresses confidence in God. The life of faith is a confident expression of our hope in God and His word, that He will do what He says. And this is the faith exemplified and shown by Moses as he led Israel out of Egypt. So I direct your attention to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been slowly going through Hebrews chapter 11, looking at each of these characters and what did it mean for them, for each of them to live by faith, and how did this apply then to those early readers, and how does it apply to us? So at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, we're picking up in the middle of the narrative of by faith Moses. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, Moses. The Sound of Music, I don't know if you've seen that musical. I don't know if this is an age thing. Maybe some of you younger people have never seen The Sound of Music. I don't know. But in that musical, Julie Andrews' character, that's the TV version or the movie version, Maria, sings a song to bolster her courage. And some of you older folks might know it. I have confidence. And she's facing a new situation, And so she sings to herself, and the conclusion is this: I have confidence in confidence alone. Besides which you see, I have confidence in me. That's a scary song. Some of you now are already singing it in your head. I know that. I'm sorry for that. It's terrible theology. I have confidence in confidence alone. What does that mean? It's like faith in faith. Does it mean anything? So our confidence is truly not in me, it's not in you, but it is in the sovereign Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And this is a truth that Moses came to fully embrace. He spent 40 years in the Egyptian court. One of the best educated men of his day, no doubt. And then he fled Egypt. And he spent 40 years tending sheep in the wilderness. He had a significant career change from on a track to perhaps govern the land of Egypt to become a shepherd. And then God met him one day at a bush. And he got his attention because the bush was on fire. But it wasn't consumed. And so Moses, out of interest, says, I'm going to go look at this. And it's a manifestation of God's presence. And they have a conversation. And in this conversation, the Lord commissioned Moses to go back to Egypt to lead his people Israel out and to bring them into the land of promise. But Moses was not keen. So take your Bibles and turn back to Exodus chapter 3 and 4. And maybe you've been given an assignment at some point that you were not keen on. I have something for you to do. And you think, I really don't want to do that. So here's Moses. What kind of reception might he get? He's a fugitive Hebrew. He'd murdered an Egyptian. And then he had fled 40 years earlier, and God's now telling him to go back. Go back and demand of Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses is wondering, what kind of reception will I get? So at chapter 3, verse 11, his question is, who am I? Who am I to do this? Part of you thinks, well, you're probably the best trained person to do this. You spent 40 years in the Egyptian palace. But his opinion is, who am I to do this? I can't do this. Then verse 13 of chapter 3. He's got another question. Not who am I, but who are you? If you're commissioning me to go, who are you? Then chapter 4, verse 1. Well, what if they don't believe me? What if Israel does not believe me? Then what? Verse 10. I'm not eloquent. I'm the wrong guy for the job because I can't speak well. Verse 13. Just send someone else. Can you empathize? Have you used any of these excuses, perhaps? I'm not qualified. I can't do this. Who am I to do this? Who are you to ask me to do this? I just don't, frankly, want to do it. Just send somebody else. Well, 10 chapters later, you hear Moses tell Israel, "Fear not, stand firm." Something has changed. Moses is fairly timid. By the way, he's 80 years old when God meets him at the burning bush. But he's not keen on this next calling, and yet, 10 chapters later, He's telling Israel, fear not, stand firm. So what's happened? Well, Moses has witnessed the power and the authority of the Lord. He has seen the power and the authority of the one who said, I am who I am. He's come to know him. So by faith, Moses knew he was not alone. As the writer here to the Hebrews says, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How do you see the invisible? This is not a trick question, by the way. How do you see the invisible? By faith. That's the whole point. By faith. By faith. By faith. So Moses fixed his attention on the one who had revealed himself in the bush, who promised, I will be with you. Which is a promise that he has made to you. I will be with you. And then he saw the water turn to blood. He saw the frogs and the gnats and the flies and the plague on the livestock and the boils and the hail and the locusts, the darkness. And most terribly, God's judgment in the death of the firstborn in Egypt. So by faith, he overcame his excuses and the initial setback. He first gets down to Egypt. He declares to Israel that he's there to lead them out. And the Egyptians kind of turn the tables. They tighten the screws. They don't give any more straw. And they tell the Israelites, you have to produce the same number of bricks, but we're not going to give you the raw materials anymore. And the foreman met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them, and they said this, the Lord look on you and judge, because you've made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. So there's an initial setback. He's already given a lot of excuses, and then there's initial failure. Nothing happens. And yet by faith, he overcomes. By faith, he obeyed. And by faith, he had confidence to do what God had called him to do. And this is the faith that would be needed by these first century Jewish Christians. They were initially now being set back. They were being persecuted. Their Savior has come. Their Savior has died, been buried, and been raised again from the dead. He has ascended on heaven. He is seated down next to his Father in heaven. He's been given all authority, and yet there's persecution and there's trouble. How will they endure? Well, they'll endure by faith. This is the faith of St. Patrick, who as a young teenager was kidnapped and spent 6 years as a slave in Ireland. And then he escaped and went back to Britain. And he had a vision. He came under deep conviction, I need to go back to Ireland to take the gospel to the Irish. To the same people that had enslaved him, he's going to return. This is the same kind of faith that we need. In the events of our lives, whatever they might be, to remember that you are not alone. to be confident then in the presence of God. Whatever transpires in the next days or weeks or months, we are to see Him, the invisible one. We are to fix our eyes on Him. And the fruit of such faith then is salvation. Israel departed Egypt for the promised land. And we read in chapter 14 that they left defiantly, unafraid. Because that decisive night, a destroyer passed through the land. And when he did so, God made a distinction between those who live by faith and those who do not. And so he passed over every house with blood on the door frame. But he killed every firstborn in every unmarked house. What's the difference? Blood. So we're told by faith, Moses kept the Passover. And by faith, Israel trusted God's word about the blood. Would the blood suffice? You've been told the angel of death, the destroyer, is going to pass through the land. But take this blood and put it on the doorpost. And you'd have to wonder, do you believe? Do you believe that blood on the doorpost will protect your household? But putting the blood on the doorpost was an act of faith. It's the evidence of faith. Would the blood suffice? Yes, it would. And we're told that that night the destroyer passed over every house so marked. And so Passover becomes the marker of God's grace to Israel. And they remembered that event year after year after year after year. But Passover also, though, was a signpost pointing ahead to the true Lamb, to Jesus who would come. So Paul can write to the Corinthians, Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. So it is by Jesus, of whom the Passover Lamb is but a type, that our deliverance from sin and misery is achieved. And as truly as the destroyer passed over the houses marked by blood, so the just wrath of God will pass over those covered and sheltered by the blood of Jesus. Do you believe that? That's the question each of us must answer. Because the Son of God has come into the world to provide a ransom, to give his life as an atoning sacrifice, to be our substitute, to die in our place. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Are you trusting in him? Because this is the call and the invitation of Good Friday and Easter, as many around the world are observing that this weekend. Because just like the firstborn, our life is forfeit unless we are saved by the death and by the blood of another, our life, your life, my life is forfeit. So Peter can write in 1 Peter chapter 1, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. If you are trusting in him today, be assured. Be at peace. But if not, do not delay. Flee to Jesus. Turn from what you know to be wrong. Deny yourself and follow him. Because your household is not marked by blood. And you are currently under judgment. We're told that the wrath of God remains on you. But the good news of the gospel is that it need not. Flee to Jesus. Not only, though, was Israel spared and delivered from the destroyer in the land of Egypt, they were also delivered from the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. Because after Israel exited, Pharaoh changed his mind yet again. And if you know the story, if you've read through the early part of Exodus, you know that he repeatedly changes his mind. His heart is repeatedly hardened. And so here at the end, he sends his chariot corps in pursuit. What have we done? Let's go get Israel and bring them back. And so Israel finds itself in dire straits. Again, not unlike these first century Christians to whom the writer of Hebrews is sending his letter. They are in dire straits. They are persecuted. They've been imprisoned. They've been beaten. They've had their property confiscated. They're in trouble. Israel was hemmed in by the wilderness and by the sea and by the Egyptian army. These first century Christians were hemmed in by both Romans and Jews. And maybe today you also feel hemmed in. I don't know. What's your circumstance today? Maybe you're feeling that, constricted. And yet all of this, Israel's position hemmed in by the sea and the army and the wilderness, the first century Christians and you yourself find yourself in a position of the Lord's doing. Because he has a plan. He's the God of providence. So we read Israel was very afraid. They see the Egyptian army marching after them and they were very afraid. And Moses encourages faith. Fear not. Stand firm. And maybe you need to hear that today. Fear not. Stand firm. And then, surprisingly, he says, go forward. Israel's looking at the sea. And God tells Moses, go forward. That's also by faith. We move forward in the face of, well, what looks like insurmountable odds, an impossibility. What do you mean, go forward? And the Red Sea divides. Moses stretches out his staff, and God sends a wind, and the sea divides. And then he says, go forward. Would you trust that? I want you to think about that for a moment. A wind has been blowing, and I don't know, maybe you're already picturing the Ten Commandments. The water divides, but we're told that they go through with a pile of water, a wall of water on one side, and a wall of water on the other. Would you walk into that? That's the call of faith. By faith, they kept the Passover, and then by faith, they have to keep the pass through. But they move forward by faith. And then the Egyptians moved forward by presumption. They followed them and were drowned in the sea. In just the same way, it will be at the final judgment. God will make a final and complete separation between his people, of whom none shall perish, and his enemies, of whom none shall escape. Where do you find yourself today? Are you of God's people who are being delivered by faith? Or are you amongst his enemies who will perish forever? Are you confidently standing by faith in the Lord? Are you trusting his word? Are you trusting his sacrifice? Or are you seeking to make your own way? Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." But Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that is what is before us today. The way of faith or the way of presumption. A way of life or a way of death. So the example of Moses calls us to faith. We are called to believe as he did, to endure as seeing him who is invisible. Even and perhaps especially in the face of the unexpected, in the face of the unwelcomed providences that challenge us. So when we encounter uncertainty, the Lord bids us go forward by faith, confident in the one who loves you and loves us and gave himself for us, who died, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who now intercedes for us. Yes, friends, trust him. Lord, we commit ourselves to you by faith. Each of us has faced trouble. Each of us will continue to face trouble in the world. Jesus, you told your followers that in the world you will have tribulation. And we've prayed about it, we've thought on it, we've experienced it. And then you said, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And you have overcome the world. You have overcome all things by your life, death, burial, and resurrection. And we acknowledge you today as our Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's someone here or via live stream that has not yet committed himself or herself to you, call that person now. Quicken their minds and renew their hearts that they might respond by faith, that they might trust that blood, that they might trust your word, that whoever confesses Jesus is Lord, the one who believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, will be saved. And so, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. And we wait for you. Hasten your coming. Hasten that new day. Bring in that new heavens and that new earth where there is no longer anymore any pain or loss or grief, because the former things will pass away. This is our commitment to you because you've committed yourself to us. And we commit ourselves to you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.